my goodness sake.
Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you, Blog Talk Radio. And welcome, YouTube. Amen. Amen. Nope, don't even want to. Don't miss the rapture. Amen.
Your man is ready.
Yeah. Amen. I found myself in God. And Tracy and Wiener, we're so happy to have you guys with us. Welcome, welcome. And welcome to our Phyllis. Phyllis is with us too. We don't know. It's not about religion, it's about love. Amen. Amen. No, Tracy. Hold on, let me finish sharing here, too. Okay.
Bye.
Hi, Rebecca. So glad you're with us, too. Okay, I have the Thompson chain. All right. Oops. I did. All right. What do you mean by the initial set of verses? I mean, there's a verse list here. Okay. I'm going to screen share so people can see this on the eSort. Okay. Oh, yeah, I do have that. Do you want that? All right. Here we go. Our pledge to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And our pledge to the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And our community of faith opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 He'll be home soon. I certainly hope so. All right, here we go. Oh, I was going to share a screen and put this up on the e-sword so you can actually read it off the screen. If you don't have your Bible handy, if you have your Bible handy, it's always best to hold your Bible and read out of your Bible. Here we go. We're reading Revelation 19, 1 through 16 to start. Here we go. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God, For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servant shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And I'm going to go to verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice. You needed me to go back further than that, didn't you? Okay. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And Verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, all right. Oh, the righteousness, I was working on this. The white linens are the righteousness. The robes of righteousness. Okay. I don't know where it was. Hold on. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Okay. Yeah, of your Easter. Okay. Hold on. Yeah. Okay, and I wasn't paying attention. Hold on for a second. I need to go take care of something. Okay. Amen. Verse 9. Then he said to me, write,
blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him. No, I'm on verse 11 in chapter 19. Okay. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And okay. This is Sunday coming in. Where was I at? Oh my. Yeah, 11. Okay, here we go. Hi, Sunday. Verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, okay, I had already read all of that. Okay. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule with them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has... And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Love that. Okay, that was 16. So do you want me to go to chapter 21 now? Verse 1, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice. I'm in verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will... And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderous, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm on verse 9 now. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried... Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he... Verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. And the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who walked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed. 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height were equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. Yeah. Amen. 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 I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Welcome, Sister Mary. She's amening on YouTube. Mary, good to see you, Mary. The first verse is the 2 Chronicles 6:41. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place. You in the ark of your strength. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. Hallelujah. And then, now therefore arise, O Lord God, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Amen. Yep. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. And let your saints rejoice in goodness. Hallelujah. Job 29:14. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. Oh, I'm not doing very well here, guys. I apologize with not keeping up over here. Job 29. There you go. There it is on the sword. All right. Job 29:14. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. My justice was like a robe and a turban. Huh. Yeah. Oh, my, it has. Yeah. Thank you. in a vision of the night. Yeah, and for some reason we picture this or envision it in our minds as, you know, going on for ever, and it just wasn't. Okay, now we're going to Psalms 132, verse 16. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Hallelujah. And then we're going to I will also clothe her priests, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. That was Psalms 132:16. Now we're going to Isaiah 52, verse 1. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Wow. Yep. Now we're going to Isaiah 59:17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate
and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak.
Now we're going to
Isaiah 61 verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Wow. Ezekiel 16:10. We're going now. Says, I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linens and covered you with silk. We receive the healing power of God right now. Amen. Amen, Phyllis. Now we're going to Zechariah. Oops, I'm on the wrong place. There is in Zephaniah. Zechariah 3, verse 4. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. Hallelujah. Now we're going to Matthew, coming into the New Testament here. Amen. So do you want me to read Matthew 22? We're going to verse 11, but do you want me to read 1 through 14? All right. Matthew 22, verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. Yeah.
Okay, let's start at verse 2. The kingdom of heaven, this is Jesus speaking, is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he set out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited are not worthy. Wow. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Here's the verse we were focused on. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to Luke 15, verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Hallelujah. Yeah. That is the prodigal son. And now we're going to Revelation 19. Oh, is that where we already read? Verse 8. Yeah, we did. We read 1 to 16. But we'll read that verse again anyway. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 5:12. Is that where we started? Nope. 2 Chronicles 5:12. And the Levite, who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. Wow, can you just imagine? how that is going to sound.
Amen. Ezekiel 16, verse 13. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate pastry of fine flour, honey, and oil. You were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty. Ezekiel 16:13. Let's just read this whole. The word of God came to me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know your abominations and say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem. Yeah, the Lord's faithless bride is the title for that. Your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. No, I pitied you to do any of these things to you, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into the open field when you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. So it's something that was birthed. It can't be Lucifer. And when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you, in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood, live. I made you thrive. Hi. Like a plant in the field. And you grew, matured, and became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed. Your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. When I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil. I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. Oh, this is where we were reading before. I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments and put bracelets on your wrists and a chain on your neck. I put a jewel in your nose, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate pastry of fine flour, honey, and oil. You were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty. Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through my splendor, which I had bestowed on you, says the Lord God. But you trusted in your own beauty, played the harlot because of your fame, and poured out your harlotry on everyone passing by who would have it. Oh my. You took some of your garments and adorned multicolored high places for yourself and played the harlot on them. Such things should not happen, nor be. You've also taken your beautiful jewelry from my gold and my silver, which I had given you, and made for yourself male images and played the harlot with them. You took your embroidered garments and covered them, and you set my oil and my incense before them. So this is the opposite of the beautiful robes of righteousness. Also, my food which I gave you, the pastry of fine flour, oil, and honey, which I fed you, you set it before them as sweet incense. And so it was, says the Lord God. Moreover, you took your sons and your daughters whom you bore to me, and those you sacrificed to be devoured. Were your acts of harlotry a small matter?
that you have slain my children and offered them up to them by causing them to pass through the fire. And in all your abominations and acts of harlotry, you did not remember the days of your youth when you were naked and bare, struggling in your blood. Then it was so after all your wickedness. Woe, woe to you, says the Lord God. Boy, you don't want to hear the woes. That you also built for yourself a shrine and made a high place for yourself in every street. You built your high places at the head of every road and made your beauty to be abhorred. You offered yourself to everyone who passed by and multiplied your acts of harlotry. You also committed harlotry with the Egyptians, your very fleshly neighbors, and increased your acts of harlotry to provoke me. I looked away and lost my place to anger. There we go. I'm on verse 27. Behold that, or remember that in case I ask again. Behold, therefore, I stretched out my hand against you, diminished your allotment, and gave you up to the will of those who hate you, the daughters of the Philistines, who were ashamed of your lewd behavior. You also played the harlot with the Assyrians because you were insatiable. Indeed, you played the harlot with them and still were not satisfied.
Wow.
Moreover, you multiplied your acts of harlotry as far as the land of the traitor, Chaldea. And even then, you were not satisfied. How degenerate is your heart, says the Lord God, seeing you do all these things, the deeds of a brazen harlot. You erected your shrine at the head of every road and built your high place in every street. Yet you were not like a harlot because you scorned payment. You are an adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband. Men make payment to all harlots, but you made your payments to all your lovers and hired them to come to you from all around your harlotry. You are the opposite of other women in your harlotry because no one solicited you to be harlot, in that you gave payment, but no one was given you. Therefore, you are the opposite. Now then, O harlot, hear the word of God. Thus says the Lord God, because your filthiness was poured out and your nakedness uncovered in your harlotry with your lovers and with all your abominable idols, and because of the blood of your children which you gave them, surely therefore I will gather all your lovers with whom you took pleasure, all those you loved and all those you hated. I will gather them from all around against you and will uncover your nakedness to them that they may see all your nakedness. And you know what? This is really funny. It was a simple question. So this was not Satan. This was actually Israel that he was talking to here, which I didn't realize until we read. But then you have to keep reading and keep reading because. So Ezekiel 16, he was talking.
Right. Let's pause for a minute. I know that. Can you guys hear me effectively? Can you see if they can hear me effectively?
Nobody is answering.
Nobody's answering.
Phyllis, can you hear Pastor okay now? Okay. Okay, good. Thank you.
I mean, that's just
oh, here, let me pause me out. Okay.
No, that won't work because you got all the strings going. You got to leave yours on. So I'm going to turn this off. Just give us a second here while we get everything in order.
Yeah, Pastor's actually in the studio now, so we have to change up our setup a little bit. Otherwise, we get all kinds of weird noises happening. So,
now, this is very interesting because, hold on, there we go. This is very interesting because can see the absolute importance of walking in righteousness. All these other verses that we've just read, compared to what you just read.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Total,
oh, my goodness.
Total extreme contrast.
Yeah.
Because every one of the other verses was about the beautiful robes that are being given to us. And those verses are God, Jesus, saying to Israel, look what you did to with your robes. You completely soiled them. And you've made a shame. That's why in Ezekiel, God said, I'm not doing this because you repented. I'm not doing this because you returned. I'm doing this for my own namesake. Because my name is on the line. Did you read all these comments these guys are making? Oh, my goodness. You guys are just tearing this thing up. That's amazing.
I actually couldn't until just now.
Well, right. You couldn't. Right. Thank you. Brother Richard, I so thoroughly expected to speak to you on the phone today. And then, are you working tonight? If you're working tonight, I'll call you when we get done. Pretty good.
I made it work.
Let's talk about that in a minute, about what you just said, Richard, or somebody said it. Been asking all day, and what's my calling? And I'm getting prophesied, my child prophecy. Yeah, let's talk about that. Now, we got a few more verses. I don't know where you're at here, so I'll be quiet. Let's finish these other verses.
We'll go to Matthew 17.
All right.
2. And he was transfigured. Oh, let's read 1 and 2. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. I love that.
That was me.
Oh. And now let's go to Revelation 3.
Let's go to Revelation
Verse
3.
5.
All right.
He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments,
wow,
and I will not blot out his name from the book of life,
wow,
but I will confess his name before my Father.
Hallelujah.
And before his angels.
Hallelujah. Confess my name before the Father.
Amen. And then we're going to go to verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And let's go to Revelation 4 now. Do you want me to go heat you up something?
Yeah, just keep going down that list.
4, verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads.
Wow. And what was the white robe that they were crowned, that they were clothed in? The robe of righteousness. Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to Revelation 7, verse 9, and we're doing verse 13.
I just love this. I hope you love this as much as I do, because this is challenging everything we've ever been taught or trained. But it's not being challenged by Wesley or Moody or Finney or some great Bible scholar. We're challenging it because we're actually reading the Bible saying, whoa, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps us come to such a more amazing understanding of who God is in our lives. There's just no other way around it.
And you know, as many times as you read these things,
yeah,
sometimes when you're It depends on what your focus is on. You don't always pick up everything, and it's like the first time you're reading it, but that's because you're focused on a particularly different thing. So that's what makes this fun, is because you're actually focusing in each one of these verses on the robes of righteousness.
Well, yeah, because when you read the whole chapter, that robe of righteousness verse is just one verse amongst many.
Yeah.
But when you pull them all out together, you're like, oh, look at this, what we can see right there.
Yeah.
At least that's how I do it. You don't have to, but that's how I do it.
Revelation 7:9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. And then verse 13, then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? Right robes and white robes, kind of the same thing.
So we find out where they came from.
All right. And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Wow. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Now we're going to go to Revelation 19, verse 8. And to her it was granted to be arrayed. Okay, we're just going to start at 6 because we have to know who her is. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, which we read this, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her, that's who the her is, it was granted to be arrayed with fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints.
What do you want to say?
Woo!
Now, I think.
You want me to unchair?
Yeah, I think I should probably come sit over there.
All right.
And you can come over here and work on this, and I'll sit over there and work on that.
All right. Sounds perfect.
Does it?
Yeah.
Excuse us while we do a little bit of musical chairs here.
Oh, this looks like this is Greek to me. How can you even figure out what to do over here? All right. So let's see. Come show me where I'm at here. Oh, this is what's shared. You didn't stop the share?
I didn't.
All right, let's stop the share. And how you turn the camera on right here.
Oh, you have to go down here.
Oh, there you go. All right, there we go. Hi, everybody. Good to have you with us here tonight. I got my prayer for our nation shirt on. If you don't have one of these, get one. This is from, what's the guy's name? Jimmy?
Jimmy Roja.
Jimmy Roja. If you need his contact information, God assigned this man to spread these shirts all over the nation during the pandemic. Don't worry about how goofy it makes me look right now. I'm just showing you. It says, pray for our nation. You like this shirt. It's light, it's nice, it's short sleeve. He might even have long sleeves by now, I don't know. But Here's the reality of this. The marriage supper of the Lamb. How in the world, Pastor, can Jesus get married to a city? I'm the bride of Christ, so why am I not in there? Well, think about the story. Think about this doctrine this way. If you're the bride of Christ and I'm the bride of Christ and a billion others of us are a bride of Christ, guess what? The only place to contain that many people that are all the bride of Christ is in the city, and the city is the Lamb's wife. You and I, we're a part of the city. Let's get this established in our life right now. That's going to help a lot of you right now when I say this. Remember, right now we're not of the bride. We're of the groom. And people are like, sign of the cross. I'm throwing my Bible at you. No, think about it. You and I are the body of Christ. Right? Well, Christ is the groom. So you're of the groom, not the bride right now. You and I are working on the side of the groom, getting the place ready, putting a lot of people in there. You and I are getting all the marriage feast ready, doing all the work to get it ready. That's what we're doing right now. We are the body of the Christ, and the Christ is Jesus, the Son of God. Woo! Pastor, what are you teaching me? I've never heard anybody say this stuff before. I know, but here's the reality of it. The more we look at this, the greater our understanding will come of the ways of God and the things of God. And the greater our understanding comes, how do I do this? The better it is. Now, I want to say something about the battles of life. All right? So let's look at two verses. This is kind of a question that came to me today. And I want to answer it. Because many times in our Christian life, yeah, amen. Listen, look at what Tracy just said. When you read it again for the third time after praying in the Holy Spirit for an hour, it pops of revelation like you've never seen it before. Why? Because out of your belly is flowing rivers of living water. When you pray in the Spirit, you speak the hidden wisdom of God ordained for your glory and mine. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 12. That's what it says. When you pray in the Spirit, God opens this up and is like, do you really want to know? Yeah, that the eyes of my understanding be flooded with enlightenment. And when you pray in the Spirit, then bam, all of a sudden it just opens it up and you see it like you've never seen it before. So if you don't pray in the Spirit, I recommend you just make that your next focus of your Christian life, so that you will be able to have that gift functioning in your life. It's a gift. It's a part of your weaponry in your tool belt. Just like having the word is part of your weapon, and having your cell phone is another part of your weapon. your Bible app. Praying in the Holy Ghost is part of that weapon. Yeah, but Pastor, I tried that and it didn't fail. So you're calling Jesus a liar then. Did he actually just say that? Yeah, see, anytime you say, I tried it, it didn't happen for me, then you're calling Jesus a liar. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, maybe you got discouraged and said, it doesn't look like it's coming to me at all. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's coming to you if you will diligently seek it until it comes. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He rewards abundantly. Now watch. How do I pray it? Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want my heavenly prayer language. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want my heavenly prayer language. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want my heavenly prayer language. What was that? What was that video that we had that we were recommending people study to be able to pray in the Holy Spirit? What was that video where they were praying in the Spirit?
Rodney Howard Brown,
yeah. Yeah, it's a music video of Rodney Howard Brown. If you're having trouble praying in the Spirit and you would like to see it grow, we were just adding music to our music list that we listen to every day. And we found a video of Rodney Howard Brown where there's a bunch of people singing in the Spirit. And I would, if you contact us, send me an email, which is right down there in the comments, in the notes. I'll get that video to you. What will it do, Pastor? Well, just sing along with them. You might not have your heavenly prayer language flowing, but just begin to sing the same song and say, Jesus, I'm going to stick with this right here until you help me have my prayer language. I'm not moving until I get it. It's not for you to brag about or show off or anything else. It's so you can be a more successful, a powerful Christian. Well, then here's what ends up happening. As they're singing and worshiping and they begin to sing in the Spirit, next thing you know, you'll just take right off and you'll be praying in the Holy Spirit and you'll be like, wow, that just happened for me in my life right there in front of God and everybody. And you'll be shouting glory, hallelujah, to the newborn King. I got to say something before we finish tonight. To any of you, this is by the Holy Spirit. To any of you who have been working diligently to walk with God, and for some reason or another, you feel like, man, I'm just failing God, and I'm just not doing, you know, you guys seem like you got it all together, and I just seem to have a battle like nobody else. I'm going to tell you, I know what battle is. I have come to the understanding in the last 3 days, we have crossed over into another zone here at the Community of Faith. We're in a zone we don't know anything about. And at this new level, we've got to have a whole new understanding of crushing the enemy underneath of our feet. Because Jesus already did the work. Jesus already did the work. Now, all you and I got to do is walk in it and apply it to our lives. We've got to go and get what he's done and begin to make it manifest in our life, appropriate it into our life. So it's already working. There's two thought processes in the body of Christ, and I'm going to straighten them out real quick. Number one is the verses. Uh-oh. I don't know where anything is over here. Hold on. Somewhere here. Oh, it's my notes are over there. Yeah. Well, here's the two verses. Number one, Paul said, it's Philippians chapter 2. Let's just go there. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I got to get this in tonight. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. This is good. Yeah, it's Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 13. Philippians 2, 5 through 13. Let's read this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus was the one in heaven showing John where things are going. It's lasting 2 years now. I command this battle in Richard's life to submit to the word of God, and we declare victory comes for our brother right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We declare everything you've seen in God that he said is yours comes to you now we declare all, no weapon formed against our brother can prosper, and every tongue that rises against him in judgment from the other side or from this side, in the mighty name of Jesus, we condemn those tongues spoken against him in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Lift your hands and just receive this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless my brother tonight with fire in his belly, courage in his soul, faith on his lips, and determination to walk with you every day greater than ever before. We command this body, his physical body, you function properly. We declare finances come to our brother. We declare understanding in all of his relationships. May the blessing power of Almighty God fill our brother's life in
Amen.
Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You and I are supposed to have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to think like him, act like him, walk like him, talk like him. And if you're 12 years old, don't stay 3 days in the temple without telling your mom and dad where you are.
Amen.
Sometimes you have to tell the 12-year-olds, you know, okay, follow Jesus' example. Just don't do that in the day that we live. Where was you? I was at church the whole time. They locked me in, Mom. I didn't know how to get out of here. 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. Think about what Jesus did. Jesus took on humanity. It was the greatest challenge of his life. Think about you and I. We have to take on divinity. It's the greatest challenge of our life. We got to realize God gave us everything we need to act like we're part of the family and to be part of the family. And you and I have to fight the battle of humanness and say, no, I resist you so that I can be a part of the divine. You're not going to be Jesus, but you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Quit acting like this world. That's an order. Number 8. He made himself, became obedient to the point of death. 9. Therefore, God also highly exalted him, given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, yet as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, the fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom. We're not afraid of God. We're not fraidy cats. We're not afraidy cat of God. Oh, my good God. Ooh. No, it's the fear of the Lord, which is awesome respect and understanding and amazing awareness and entering into, woo, look at what God is in my life. That's the fear of the Lord. Wow, that was pretty cool. I put my fingers right up there, and it looked like I was holding that little flag. Just when I went like that, the flag didn't move. That was weird. Work out your salvation. Now, hold your spot. Go to James chapter 1. I want you to reference these two things. As we were talking tonight, I can hear God saying, do this. All right. We're after that with you. No more spirit. James chapter 1. And what's my notes say? Verse 2? James 2. Yeah, here we go, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let not that man suppose, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Now, the faith church has used these two doctrines against us. And don't do that, because you need this doctrine of faith. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Hold on just a second. Yeah, something.
What?
My shift didn't end. No, I won't give them. All right, don't worry about it. Now, there's a big difference between working out your salvation with fear and trembling and being a double-minded person. Look at what James says right here. Verse 6. Let him ask in faith, no doubting. He who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Let me help you with something. Remember, once you come to God and say, that's it, I'm walking with you, a double-minded man would be the guy that says, well, I don't know, maybe I'm not today. And then tomorrow's like, no, I'm walking with God. And then the next day, nah, I don't know whether I'm going to walk with God or not. The next day, I'm walking with God. That's a double-minded man. And that's what James says. Don't let that man think he's going to get anything from God. However, you and I who are saying, let this mind be in me, which is also in Christ Jesus, and that is coming to me now. See, now all of a sudden, you're no longer an unstable in all of your ways. You are working out your faith, your salvation, with fear and trembling. And what are you doing? You're taking authority. I'm learning now, all over again in my life, I guess, that the bottom line is where I used to be and where I am today is like two extremely, think about how different things are in the last 5 years. The growth and development that we've come into. But there's never a point in there where I looked at myself and said, I'm a double-minded man. Paul said, if in any way, by the Holy Spirit, he said this, if in any way you are otherwise minded than forgetting the things which are behind, pressing forward to the things which are before you, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. And as soon as he reveals it, crush it. Put it in order, speak the word, and keep moving. Why? Because we're not double-minded. We're not unstable in all of our ways. We're just working out our salvation, learning how that sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness is actually working. You're working out your salvation with fear and trembling, saying, let this mind be in me, which is also in Christ Jesus. This is very interesting to me. But tonight's the first night I actually got the thought in my mind that verse 12 and verse 5 are in the same chapter. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And it just never registered till right now. Both those verses are in the same chapter. But why are you saying this in this story tonight about the bride of Christ? Well, because one of the things that happens when we start talking about righteousness is people get condemned because they still have a tendency to sin somewhere. Usually it's called habit.
Yeah.
It's just called habit. How many people quit smoking and as soon as you get done eating, what do? You reach for your pack and you're trying to grab it and then you get a smoke. And it's just a habit. And all you got to do is untrain that habit and put in a good habit, and now the habit's changed, and you don't ever have to worry about that ever again. Why? Because when Jesus came in with all of his righteousness, he cleansed and purged all of that garbage out of your system. Pastor, I don't even know how to act if I didn't smoke. Well, I do. One thing about it, you wouldn't be lighting $5 bills on. It's just a habit. All you got to do is just kick it. No matter if you smoke, chew, drink. You ready? Hold on. Gossip, tailbear, backbite, scorn, eat too much chocolate, eat too much ice cream, drink too much coffee. I done gone to meddling now. But wait, why am I saying this? We've been given the most beautiful robes of righteousness. We are righteous. Now we will be. We are now. Now that we are, every day God's going to say, work on this. Change that. Don't have that attitude. And all you got to do is say, yes, sir. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And some of them, you'll be like, oh, I ain't doing that again. Oh, I ain't doing that again. Hey, how come I keep hitting this wall? And the Father will say, well, you keep doing that, and that causes that to happen, and that makes that happen. Got it. I ain't never doing that again. But wait, you're still righteous. You're still righteous while this is happening. Where's the, we got Kleenex in here? Watch this. I want everybody to pay attention. No matter what you're doing right now, look up at the screen. You ready? This is you. This is you on drugs. No. Wait. This is you. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. Now, as you can see, that is not white. That is milky mocha, milky caramel, something. It's not white. But this is about as close to white as we're going to get. So this is you before you're saved. This is you after you're born again. And the Father looks down from heaven at the blood of Jesus that you've availed yourself to. And what does he see? White as snow. Right? Mm-hmm. He sees a new creation. He sees old things have passed away. What's he see? He sees the blood of Jesus. He sees white as snow. Watch. This is a very important, simple lesson. But he also knows the habits that you have underneath of this. And so he's going to say to you, let's get this out. But he's looking down saying, white as snow. Let's get this out. But he's still looking down saying, white as snow. Let's get that attitude gone. And he's still looking down saying, white as snow. Why? Because the blood of Jesus makes you white as snow. You are a new creation. What we got to do now is get El Acabeza filled with the word of Almighty God. We got to transform you by the renewing of your mind so that you will have on your robe of righteousness. And then just, I'm telling you, there comes a point where all of a sudden you're like, I ain't spending another day of my life ever. Holy Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you. Woo! And then I say, scream loud, Holy Spirit. Why? Because this world is intense. This world is in your face. If you're out in the world every day, this world is in your face every day. If you're not out in the world every day and you spend your whole day on here, I told you guys the other night, I about flicked that thing right out through the alfalfa field the other night because of what came on my screen on Facebook. And my thought was any 9-year-old child can get this on their Facebook if they got one. It's perverse.
Intended to or not.
perverse, wicked. So, say it. I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling, all the wisdom I need from God, my robe of righteousness, my garment of salvation, and the Holy Spirit living in me, because I'm one with the Father. Our actions. Does he want to come in here with us to take communion? Our actions every single day have just got to be submitted to the things of God. And we just got to walk with him. We got to get more serious about walking with God than we are about the Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. We got to get more serious about walking with God than we are scrolling and putting up memes and Facebook things and all the rest of it. I love Facebook. I enjoy talking to as many people as I get to talk to. I have one post that's got 250,000 shares on it out there floating around somewhere. I like that. Why? I was able to make a severe impact that day and had no idea that I was even going to do it. And didn't even know what happened till like 6 months later. Somebody said, man, did you see that post you wrote? I'm like, no, I didn't. They're like, it's got 100,000 shares on it already. I'm like, wow, thank you, Jesus, for that. Go, Jesus, go. I don't even go look at it until every now and then it pops up on the screen. And I'm like, woo, look at you go, Jesus. Why? Hey, what am I going to claim it was me? No, you don't know me good enough, Evan. Anyways, let's see. Go the wagon. How do we circle the wagons tonight? Oh, the title of our message tonight. I found my place in God. I found my place in God. What's your place, Pastor? I have the robes that are going to be adorning the New Jerusalem as it comes down out of heaven. It's our righteous acts. And every single one of you that's with me right now doing this as often as you can, every time you're here doing this, what happens? You get another robe. You get another glorious diadem. You get another jewel in your crown. You get a hundredfold return for the earth and eternal life for somebody on the other side. Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. Tonight, sitting here right now, Sister Rebecca's comments, Brother Richard's comments, Sister Tracy's comments. I see Brother Chris Timmer's there. Bless you, Chris. Love you, man. Now, think about this. We just earned more jewels in our crown, our robes, our righteous robes, by this action that we just took tonight, hammering out these verses. We just gave New Jerusalem some more adorning for the wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Think about this. You ever done something that part of you was up on the wall? You know, like, you know, you was in a basketball game or something and they put a jersey up on the wall. We're going to walk outside the city and say, son. Yeah, that robe's mine right there. And that is when we're live every night on Facebook, YouTube, and we did it. And look at how glorious that robe is there, adorning the New Jerusalem as it's coming down out of heaven. Look at it glisten and glow and shine. Woo! I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Now, Let's do this. Is it time to be done? Do we have any more questions? Wait, I got to give you one more verse. I got to give us one more verse. I know sometimes you show up and you're like, wow, Pastor, we're kind of bouncing all over everything. Well, I know, but I also know I want to minister to those of you that's here right now with us. And I know when I minister to you, it's going to touch a whole lot of people's lives. And there's no way tonight with these few verses and this initial understanding about what we're just reading, that one night's going to give us all of that understanding. We're going to have to go back and read all those verses again. Did anybody make a verse list?
I don't know. It looks like...
Did Tracy get them all in? All right. Thank you guys for putting them in. Look at this verse. 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19. 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them prophecies you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, with some having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck.
Excuse me.
Of which are Hymenaeus and Alexander. And Paul said, I turned them over. While you're reading this, if you have any prophetic utterances that spoken over you at any time in your life, days gone by, today, or in the future, make sure you record every bit of it you can get as soon as somebody speaks it over you. Why? Because Paul said to Timothy, even though a prophet spoke it, you're going to have to do the warfare. You're going to have to do the warfare of seeing that come to pass because you went to war for it. It takes war. Brother Richard, I don't know everything that's happening in your life. I just know that whatever this is, it's trying to stop you. Don't let it. And we arrest it now. We resist steadfast in the faith. Don't take any sickness. Don't take any disease. Don't take any sadness, any sorrow. Don't take any fear. None of those things are from God in any sense of the word. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't take any of that. And you confront that thing every day. Dr. Winston makes a statement when he's getting ready to preach. This word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. And you make that about yourself. And we're going to be praying with you. Everybody add Brother Richard to your list. But listen, don't say, oh, Lord, teach him a good lesson. No.
No.
You need to pray. Thank you, Father. This battle is done and over now. In Jesus' mighty name. And there's great victory for it. Brother Chris Timmer, it's so good to see you, man.
It is, Chris. Hi.
We love you, brother. I call you healed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. All your footsie wootsies and toesy woesies, and I declare you up running, jumping, shouting, dancing in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessing all your brothers and sisters from battle and being a mighty man of God like you are in Jesus' mighty name. Well, there's a real interesting thing that happens when I come in from work. And I sit here. After about 45 minutes, there becomes a great behoovement. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That maybe we should ought and go ahead and finish up for tonight. Because I can tell that sleep cometh. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Do you think I'm a wimp? Now what do? I don't know where anything is over here, love.
Do you want me to read the First Corinthians verses?
I think what we'll do is Sister Leanne is going to sit back down here. We're going to share the screen, and I'll just sit on this side beside her. No. I'll get you a seat. Just sit here. I'll get the seat. That way you can run the controls.
Oh, all right.
I need you to find the verses.
All right.
Don't worry about it. We're just playing music.
Say that again. You know, that has happened more than one time sitting here.
Oh, she's never kicked me hard.
Hi, Chris. You know, on my phone, I wrote, hey, Chris, we love you. It's so good to see you here. And for some reason, I see it did not show up over here. It didn't make it from one side of the room to the other. But hi, it's so good to see you. All right. Well, you just kind of moved all of my stuff around.
I didn't move it all around. I just moved several things. I put it in order like it ought to be, like a woman should have it.
No. No, it really isn't the way it should be. All right, here we go. So what do you want? The prayer
verses.
Okay, so I'll read the communion verses. I don't have a Bible over here at the moment. So we're going to First Corinthians. These are the Bible verses. My goodness. First Corinthians chapter 11 verses 23. I'm trying to get to desperately. And then we will read the prayer of salvation together.
Amen.
And say the communion prayers together.
Amen. There we go.
So were you going to come over here and you just want me to do the controls?
No, I need to just do it. I'm going to sit right here.
All right.
That's okay with you.
That is just fine with me. Okay, First Corinthians. Chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. I lost my place. I do know this by heart, really, but do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death or his redemptive work until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. This is why we recommend you do not take communion with us or new covenant worship until you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
What an amazing thing that
if we would judge ourselves, we would not be
judged.
Amen. Isn't that amazing that he gives us the ability to decide what we'll have for judgment?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you come from. As long as your heart is, Jesus, I need you, you will be worthy to receive salvation and then the communion elements. Here we go.
Amen. So if you have not yet received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to do that tonight, right now, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. I'm going to put the words up on the screen, and we can all pray it together. And as I always say, even if you've prayed this 1,000 times, go ahead and pray it again. It's a wonderful refreshing to your spirit and soul to pray this prayer again and mean this from the depths of your heart. This is, oh my goodness. Hold on, I gotta stop share again to go out and take myself. There we go. This is an eternal decision. So mean this from the depths of your heart as you pray this. Here we go. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me, so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and that you died and rose again on the third day. Now reach out your hands to Jesus and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. Sorry, I moved that up too quick. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire, so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God.
Amen.
Welcome to the kingdom of God. We're so, so happy for you. And we so want to hear from you. Please contact us if you have any questions about how to walk out this new life as a Christian, a believer. We would be glad to help you do that, answer any questions you have. And we have this wonderful family here, the community of faith, that are here every day to help support you in your new walk, too. So thank you for making that decision, and what a life-changing decision it is. So now you're free to receive communion with us. So everybody, if you have your communion elements, let's hold them up. And first, let's say, Father, we thank you for these communion elements, and we bless them for this time of communion with you, Lord. And now I'm going to share the screen again. Hold on. Let me get back to the other screen here again for a second. Oh, my. Okay, now I really am going to share the screen again so we can pray this prayer together. First, we'll pray over the bread. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today, this bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. And now let's pray this out loud. Now let's pray this together out loud. Here we go again. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint is supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's receive the bread together.
Thank you for your body broken and your blood shed.
Thank you, Lord. Now let's lift up the cup and say these words. Now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. And here's the prayer. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged, my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, is and flow that makes me white as snow. No other that I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin?
blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sister Phyllis, read us some verses.
We do love Revelation.
Amen.
Morning star. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him,
Amen.
That the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen and amen. And thank you. I think our pastor just fell asleep here on the desk beside us. Amen. Thank you all so much for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow for 1 hour of faith-ish, 1 hour-ish of faith and communion. We'll be here at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, 12 o'clock Eastern. We hope you can join us. And until then, have a wonderful rest of your evening, and God bless your sleep. And may you have a wonderful vision of God in the night.
Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And
God
loves
you. And Jesus is Lord.
Give me a call, man.
All right. Have a good night, guys. Good night.
That's amazing. Fired up as long as I'm walking there. As soon as I set it down, just turn off Blog Talk Radio.
That's what I'm working toward right now.
What did they change on this?